be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Hey, there you go.
Hang on a minute. We just hang on. Now, welcome to You Cannot Be Serious. Over the journey, many years, four of them, in fact, we've spoken to some remarkable people in various aspects and genres of life, and today might trump the lot of them. We're here with the great, the enigma, who is Captain Peter Jansen. Welcome, Peter, to You Cannot Be Serious.
I certainly am. It's starting to worry me, Sam.
You are the classic, you are the epitome of an enigma. You are a puzzle. You are unpredictable and unfathomable, which is a compliment.
I hope so. It was a lot of words then, Sam.
Well, you're a wordsmith.
Oh.
You. Captain Pitt. What are you a captain of?
Salvation Army.
Are you?
Come on.
How are you going? You're going all right?
Yes.
This is a remarkable place you live in. How long have you been here?
About 35 years.
35 years.
Yes.
And you could open this up as a museum. There's animals and artifacts and flower arrangements and crystals, and it's an extraordinary collection. Of your personal collection, have you gathered this from all around the world?
Certainly have, and I think it started off when I came to Australia. I had the Federal Hotel, which was an unbelievable old hotel. Should never come down. There's a beautiful photograph over there of it. And the tower was 51 feet across with spiral staircases going up. And the chandelier, enormous one, we had to retune it or drop it down every 3 months to tighten all the nuts and bolts on it because I'm mad on classical music. And the vibration in the round room, absolutely, didn't matter if we put washers on,
yeah. They
all sagged down. It was a home of, I think, motor racing, Stirling Moss lived there.
At the Federal Hotel.
Yeah.
Where was the Federal Hotel? That's not
right on the corner here of Collins Street and King Street.
So when did you make the journey up to the Windsor?
That was we had a party and the will and the liquor was in and the building was swaying and George Free rang up and he says, I want one of your statues off the front of 13 foot of two beautiful women stark naked. And I said, no, I want them, you know, I've got them. But he says, I want to buy them off you. I says, all right, I'll sell you one. You're pushing me. And I says, I want 12,000 for it, which in those days was a lot.
£12,000?
Yes. And anyway,
that is
George got it. He thought it was bronze, and I knew it was concrete. I dashed around to the Jolly Bank and cashed it very, very quickly. And poor old George rang up about 2 days later. He says, oh, bastard, he says, it's concrete. The man's just blown its tits off. I said, well, holy hell, I mean, it's concrete. Oh, well, today, it's still in a hotel. They had it redone down the end of, I think, Lonsdale Street. I'd have to go looking for it. It's still there. He's put it up.
So, Peter.
And she's not minus tits. She's got
just
new
gonna
ones.
Say,
she had a real uplift. I mean, goodness.
She's had a tit yeah, job. So, yeah. So this was standing at the front of the Windsor, was it?
No, this was at a Federal Hotel.
Oh, that was at the Federal Hotel.
Yes, Federal Hotel on the front. Yeah. They were beautiful.
So, 14-foot high. So George Frew probably learnt that well-known Latin phrase, let the buyer beware, caveat emptor.
Oh, he never learned.
So
he was in for another one, and I didn't want to sell and the same thing happened. You know? George would never learn.
So, Peter, you mentioned that you're having one of your parties. You've become infamous, famous or infamous for your parties. You have many of them. At the drop of a hat, you have a party. Is that correct? This is how folklore goes.
Well, most of them have to be instantaneous because suddenly the people arrive.
That's right, yeah.
On your doorstep from London and it might be the Duke of Beaufort, it might be someone else, and I just gathered all the clan and that and we'd all come and have a party.
Who's the most famous royal or, not royal, but who's the most famous people you've had at parties?
I don't know, they're pretty good, I mean.
Come on, who?
You know, Johnny Cash. And
Johnny Cash, I've interviewed yeah. Johnny Cash. Celebrities that sing, singers, entertainers?
Yeah.
Royalty?
So much, well, I mean.
Did you go on a safari with Princess Di? No.
I had a photograph of us together, actually.
Not on safari, though?
No. Over there. I knew him very well.
Did you?
And I knew Prince Charles. We hunted together at the Beaufort Hunt. And so did Camilla. And Camilla was about 12, 14 years of age when I met her. And her father, Brigadier, lovely man, on the field. She was so much fun. Well, she was Prince Charles's first lover.
Camilla?
Yes. And
now her last.
And there's a little town called Tetbury, just down the road of Babington. And she'd go down there shopping. And they'd throw tomatoes, carrots and everything at her. It was terrible. And she stuck it out. And today she'll be the strength.
Will she?
Absolutely.
So did you meet up with Prince Charles when he came out here to school in 1966?
Yeah, I picked them up and
did
they
you?
Were hiding in a drain.
Were you?
No, it was at, off, what's the name of the finishing school?
Timbertop?
Timbertop.
Yeah, I went to Timbertop.
Yeah.
I was there in 1960.
He was just such a lovely person.
Prince Charles?
Yeah, he really is.
So how did you get to meet Diana?
Well, I knew her before Prince Charles.
Did you?
And a shy little girl, always hanging her head like that. And if it was a drinks party after the hunt or that, and she was there, there was about four of them all terribly shy.
How old would she have been? With a drinks party after the hunt with the hounds and the dogs?
That's right. Well, the hounds and the dogs are just the same person.
The hounds and the dogs are the same person. The foxes and the hounds. Run with the foxes, hunt with the hounds. Isn't that how it goes?
Yeah.
Yes, Freudian slip there. Yeah. Sorry about that. Did you tell me how you? What are you a captain of? Did you tell me that?
Yeah.
Were you in the Navy?
I think I held a gun.
You're a war veteran.
No, it's more than that.
What were you? What are you?
Well, I'm just me these days.
Captain Peter Jansen. Now, you said you came out here. Where did you come from?
I came from England. I mean, in London, Tatler magazine had it down on my penthouse there, which was at the Royal Garden. I had for 17 years. And they said in it there that they all knew when I was back and around was my Continental Bentley, which is an absolute masterpiece.
What year?
Oh, going back a bit. The design of it is just so beautiful.
Yep.
People would come and photograph it instead of Prince Frederick's and all the rest of their latest Rolls Royces, they came to see that Bentley. And for Tatler to do the story, it was quite something.
Tatler, yeah, that is that's prestigious, yeah. Prestigious journal, Tatler.
Actually, I tore the bit out. Like Peter Costa's got it, actually.
Has he?
Yeah, if you rang him, he'd tell you all about it. And I lived there. I mean, and see, the hotel was five, the top hotels of Ritz and so on. And they did a story who lived permanently in hotels, and I was one. But it's right next to Kensington Palace.
Of course.
And you could just see, well, you could see them walking out. And
Do you have Swedish blood in you? You're not a Swedish royal, are you?
Yeah,
you are?
Yeah.
How is that, Peter?
Oh, all right.
Yeah? You all right? Yep.
Getting there. What time is it?
It's 2:30.
All right, it's daytime, yes.
Yeah, it's daytime. Right. Daylight savings just kicked in. You're a Swedish heritage.
Very good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. You're a car driver. You're a car racer. How did you're suffering from?
Well, what is it? I beat Brock one year.
In what?
What were you Bathurst. I beat him.
Did you? Driving?
And I was always second or third there, Larry and I.
Larry Perkins?
Yes.
Yeah, there's a man.
We got him back from overseas and Ian Tate built the engines. And here's the thing. He was building the engines and he rang me. He said, look, if we want to get the same performance as Moffat,
yep,
and Peter Brock, well, I'll need another $10,000. I said, well, holy hell, I haven't got that. He said, well, I'll build you an engine that will go and go and go. And
you could have sold one of those statues to George Frew and topped up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Poor old George. I went to the funeral and I was the only one who was laughing. Anyway, he built them, and
Larry, yep.
And we absolutely either second or third, and then another year.
This was in a Holden.
Yeah.
And they were in Fords.
I'll show it to you over there.
Yeah, I'm going to have a look around in a minute.
There's photographs of it when I outpaced Brock. But if it's wet, I mean, just look out.
You're good in the wet.
Across the top of the mountain, no one will touch me.
It's an exhilarating. I've driven at Bathurst. It's an exhilarating experience.
It's wonderful. It's the best in the world. Nothing else like it.
I was just going to say, where else have you driven in the world?
All over the
joint. Nürburgring and
All over the. But
how did you get into that?
I'm scratching.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm getting there.
How'd you get into it?
I just started off. I don't know. It was the same with aircraft, you know. At 14, I was.
You were flying?
Granddad's Sopworth, which is
a Sopworth
moth with a
Sopworth camel. Yeah. Yep.
And I was going up and down the tarmac and everything like that. One day I gave a full throttle and took off. Well, that was only the start. It was beautiful up there. And I looked and I was nearly on empty. And then I thought, how the hell do I get down? And then when I did look down, I saw a man there with the boot lid up. It was my grandfather. I knew he was getting the whip out. And then I landed it perfectly. And he whipped shit out of me.
Whipped the living suitcase out of you. Did you learn to fly, or did you just take the plane and wing it, so to speak?
I just went.
Did you?
Yeah, same in motor racing. Anyway, we're going back into town. And he looked straight at me. Son, he said, if you want with my aircraft to do something like take it up, just ask me and I'll let you. And it never, ever was there another word ever said.
And did you fly regularly?
Yeah, well enough.
So you are legitimately one of the original thrill seekers in life. You are a daredevil. And nothing fazed you.
I've had some close shaves. I lost my face once. I mean...
Doing what?
I had a pole put down at the Ferrari. The front wheel snapped. And in those days, there was only a cross a scaffolding pole to hold the crowd back.
Oh, yes.
And I was just under 200 miles an hour and bang. And the last 5 miles an hour, I thought I was all right. It hit that scaffold and it went straight down my throat. And
the safety...
And I felt no pain. This is the funny thing about it. And I thought, hell, I wonder if they can put me together because I was taking this girl out, you know. And I thought, oh, shit, she won't mind a bit of blood. But then I looked and half my jaw was on the ground there. I mean, holy hell, I thought, this is serious stuff. I passed out. Anyway, they got me in and they put my floating ribs in my jaw.
Did they?
Yeah. Yep.
They put some of your ribs into your jaw.
Yeah. And I'll show you a photograph.
The girl must have been impressed with that. She thought, this is what I like. This is when men were men.
She did.
And sheep were nervous.
Near the end, half the steel's been taken off.
Now, Peter's showing me a photo of an extraordinarily pleasant-looking woman, and you look like you've got a gymnasium strapped to your face. You've got a couple of rods coming down from your eye sockets attached to your jaw in a triangular sort of piece of tubular steel. That is extraordinary, Peter, but the girl seems very, very happy with you. Nevertheless.
Yeah, she stuck by us. here we go. Here's one better. They ripped all my mouth inside and they took the skin off my backside and put it in my mouth. I'm the only one who say can kiss me and then...
kiss my ass.
Yes.
Cause,
and Gordon Joss fixed me up in East Grinstead. He was the most famous plastic surgeon. And he was a terrific chap. And he was the first one. I got the book, medical book they gave, in the world that had a transplant of skin away without being held in, like into the mouth. Anyway, I roll like this, you know, and had to write it down, Jensen, write it down. And I says, what about the hairs in my mouth? How do I clip them, you know, because of my heart? And he said, look, we got it all under control, all under control. I said, fine, how? He says, well, I've had special scissors made. stop bloody crying. I was joking. And today it's still pure white.
Have you had any trouble with it?
It was
a raging success. How long ago is that? It's a test of time?
We're going way back.
That's extraordinary.
Yeah.
That is extraordinary. So,
a funny thing was, Stanley Moss used to pick me up when I was fit enough to get out. And I'll show you in a moment, a Maserati.
Yes.
Sports. And I used to be a pretty boy once. You won't believe it when I show you the photograph. I've got to fight for everything. Anyway, Sterling. Sterling had me staying for 4 months. And he used to take me out everywhere to restaurants. Now, he is so mean. I mean, he'd lose 2 and 6 pence. We'd have to both hunt for a week looking for it. I mean, he was that bad. Anyway, these were the most expensive restaurants we're going to. I couldn't believe it. Sterling, you're going over the ball. I want to look after you, boy. I want to look after you. We need you. We need you. And I had more steel. That was the last little bit off. Before, it was, I mean, it was more scaffold than you've ever seen. And to eat, I had an enema, and I used to fill it up with soup or crushed bananas, and I put it down my throat because everything.
An enema.
Everything was shut down. Big bloody thing, you know.
You're squeezing it up the wrong end if it's an enema.
Well, that'll do.
Yeah, no, that'll do. That's right. A straw.
Anyway, they did this, and the place was packed. And what he'd do, he'd ring up, and I said, good, what's the news? He said, I've got Jansen out of hospital. He's covered. And you have to fill up his bougie thing, and he squirts it down his mouth. Oh, welcome, welcome. Then he'd ring all these clients, and the place was packed out.
Yeah.
They were both making money on me. I mean,
you sound a bit like Nicky Lauda when it happened to him. He couldn't operate. He had burned his lungs out.
Mickey, he used to stay with me.
Nicky?
He also slept in my coffin up there. He's the only other one who slept in it. The bloody lid closed on me one day. And I had a glass of whiskey and a cigar. And Jake, my dog, who crossed between an Alsatian and
pit bull?
No. Doesn't matter. Doesn't
matter.
Brilliant dog.
Yeah.
And he'd sit beside me. He used to love it too.
In the coffin?
No. Alongside the coffin.
I see. Yeah.
And lucky I've got off the motorbike an old dust cover that was also waterproof put into it. So my shoes and that wouldn't hurt all the silk.
Yes.
And I sneezed and the bloody thing came down. Bang. I was there for 1.5 days, and Jake was kept going back towards the Tonto. My
Wolfie
Butler. He was with us for 20 years.
And what sort of butler, Peter?
What?
Well, butler? Your Tonto was your butler.
Yeah.
What sort was he? Where was he from?
Oh, he did everything. He knew how to do cooking. He was brilliant. Anyway. He kept tugging at his pants. And then the next day he thought, well, what's wrong? So Jake took him in the room where I was.
The dog.
And he got me out. And I'll never forget it. Old Tante said, ew, what a mess, ew, what a smell. I said, bloody well, so would you if you're locked up in a coffin for a day and a half. He says, I want an extra $30 this week if I've got to clean it all up.
You soiled the coffin.
Anyway, yep. 3 weeks later, you don't believe it, I'm back in the coffin again. But I had it raised so it would not jam down.
So there's
always something happens.
There's always something happening at these legendary gatherings and parties and events that you have and have staged over many, many years, Peter.
Yes, they have. Well, London, they were unbelievable.
The upper echelon, the landed gentry, the who's who used to come to them, and was there plenty of drinking, and were drugs around in those days?
No drugs.
No
drugs.
Never was into that.
No, never.
So can I ask you this? This is an extraordinary lifestyle you've left. What was your vocation? Where did all your means come from? What or, were you my wife. Mean? So how do you fund this?
It's just how you want to create. I love creating.
Were you a salesman? Were you an entrepreneur? What were you?
I was just me.
But this has to come from somewhere. You have to be able to fund this.
No, it just all happened. Like granddad in the corner.
Is that your granddad with his, up on the portrait?
Yeah, he's a bit green on it at the moment.
Oh, yes, he is. What was he? What was your granddad? Was he a...
What?
Was he part of the establishment?
Oh, I suppose you helped me along. Oh,
No, it's okay. So, as I said, you are would you say you're an eccentric person, Peter? You drove a double-decker bus up the steps of Parliament, didn't you?
I'll never forget that at all, love.
No, I wouldn't reckon you would forget that. How did that happen?
I left it, I locked it up, but I left it in, what's the name, a big square face,
up here?
Yeah.
The Windsor?
On TV and that. No, it was never on TV. And he tries to get into Parliament all the time. What's his name?
Tries to get into Parliament. TV. Who's that?
That's what I'm trying to think of. Yeah. Anyway, he's
what
quite
year
famous
is this?
Around town. Anyway, I forgot he was still in there with the girl. And I locked him in. Well, look.
In the bus?
What?
In the bus?
Yeah, in the bus. His face was pushed up against it. No one had let him out. Well, they couldn't. So anyway, they got me out of bed. I didn't want to get out of bed. I mean, I had a hangover. I looked out the window and then he vomited. She was on it and she was, like, ready to go. So I rang Clark Cranes and they brought two cranes around. I went out and he went berserk. Well, I said, I didn't know they were down the back knocking the girl off. I said, I would have come and watched, but I said, you know, this is ridiculous.
And you drove the bus up the steps of Parliament.
And, you know, not one copper, not one story in the world.
I think you had the law under control. It wasn't your very, very close friend that you used to sing and dance with the Chief Justice of the time?
John Phillips.
Yes?
He used to pick me up and I'd say, hey, he'd come in his old Rolls Royce with the right-hand gear changer, the R-Type.
Yep.
And I said, we're going mine. We're going in mine. And he's this deep voice of John Phillips, Supreme Court judge. And he said, I said, what do you mean? What do you mean? You might not be coming back.
Oh, dear. So he oversaw you legally and...
it was wonderful. There's one thing I'll give it to you before you go, newspaper cutting. I just can't believe this. A beautiful girl came, an Indian girl, and I'm starting to warm up, came at the Windsor Hotel, one of my favourite ones. And she's about 6 foot, just so beautiful. And when she spoke, I knew exactly what school she went to. And I said to her, her name was Nina, I said, Nina, you went to Bedloe, didn't you? She says, yes, I know. I said, I know. The Bedloe girls have all got that.
They've all got that, the plum in the mouth, yes, Peter?
No, it's that too. And anyway, she started coming on her own. And then one day she came home and says, Peter, you always ask when there's about 100 people around, why don't you just ask me for afternoon?
Well. Wow.
Looking me up and down. Oh, golly, I'm on.
So you
anyway,
would
on? Forget it. 3 days later, the police arrived, handcuffed. They said, I'd rape this beautiful girl. Holy hell. Anyway, I found out afterwards, Irv the Perv, Rockman, Yeah. He was up
there. Herbert Drockman, yeah.
Yes. Sir Garfield Sobers.
Yeah.
He shot three. He's never come back. The Perth went snorkeling. Then, and one other. I think of his name, but it doesn't matter. He tore up to Gisborne. He was a barrister. He tore up to Gisborne to his old girlfriend, threw all his clothes off with a bottle of champagne, turned the light on, and his ex-girlfriend was in bed with the biggest, tallest, sprawliest bloke who had a sawn-off shotgun. He gave him 30 words, a count to 30, and then
30 seconds to get the...
And he got down over the bank into the stream, and he kept him there for 2 days. And luckily it was summer. He ate blackberries, nothing but blackberries, stark naked. Poor bugger. He's still around, I'm trying to figure
it out. So this was just...
Anyway, I'm left. They've all shot through. They'd been taking her out. And
all of them?
Yeah.
Mm. And you got accused.
And I'm trying to think who the chap
is. Is he still alive?
Tim, what's the name? I think of it. He's a...
Be good if he wasn't alive, because we can mention his name.
He makes films. And he has a permanent detective all the time, full time.
I see. And bodyguard.
For his girlfriends.
Yes.
24 hours a day. Anyway, I got up before the judge. John Phillips picked me up. He says, so-and-so's on. He's dying to meet you.
Fantastic.
He's heard so much about me. He says, he's salivating. Especially with this girl. Well, she was there. I walked in. She waves to me with a big smile. Wait a minute.
And she charged you with rape.
What?
She and you were up on a charge of rape.
Yeah, yeah.
And the judge said, Captain Peter Jansen, you've been accused with the crime of rape. How do you plead? And you said, not guilty, Your Honour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she anyway, waved this at went you. On. And then in the end, he leaned over and he said, it's like this, Captain. Like this. If you can't figure out whether you've made love to her, we'll make it say love to her. In 3 minutes, I go to lunch and you go to the boo-boo. I said, what's the boo-boo? Jail. Oh, wait a minute. And I got down looking at her and everything. She's still going like that. Oh, stop it.
Did she?
And anyway, I looked up. I said, maybe I don't know with the clothes on. I'm going to give you the newspaper clipping before you go, because I know
no,
you
won't I believe. It. Did she do the right thing and say that you did she?
Oh, well, she said the same thing. Yeah,
That you didn't.
Tim Versal.
Oh yes. Yep.
He's a maddie. Hi Tim, I hope you listen in on my dear friend here.
Did she do the right thing, Nina, and say? You didn't really do that to her?
Yes, yes.
She did. So it was dismissed, the whole thing.
She says, shall we go for afternoon tea? No, it's all right. I go over the shoulder and see if there's another detective following me.
So you instigated and were the originator of the birdcage, were you not, at the Melbourne Cup?
I did.
Did you take, was Nina one of the first people?
Help me get up.
Yes, hang on.
We've got underpants on, that's all right.
That's all right. Now, we're just, Peter is just getting to his feet. I'm not sure what for, but we're just, where are you going? I'm coming with you. Just a minute, everyone. Peter's wandered off to get something. You go and hold on to him, Sue. Here we are. Now, we've just retrieved. Here we are. The captain's calling. Here's a newspaper clipping I'm reading out here. There's a picture of an extraordinarily dappy-looking Captain Peter Jansen at the Flemington race. What year's this?
Going back a few years.
Hang on. He said he's going back a few years. Well, when did that start? The Birdcage.
I started it. I can't remember now.
Well, there's a date on it, if I can read it. Where's my thing here? This is an unusual interview.
Not only that, the chairman, she broke a contract with me. And anyway, I said, I'll never enter that place ever again. And the Herald Sun put that out. That was on the front page.
Yep. I'm trying to see the date.
Wait a minute, on the 2nd of November. At the bottom.
Yeah, 2nd November, the date, the years, 2019.
Yeah.
2019.
And
that wouldn't be right. You didn't start the Birdcage in 2019, did you?
I started it well before that.
Yeah, that's right. What's that say there?
No, this is the article.
Oh, yes, about how it started.
Yes.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
And she broke a contract, and I think it was on 9. I said, no one will ever do that to me. They will suffer. Anyway, that came out on front page. They had all the overseas people ready to get interviewed and be on the paper and that. What did they get? They got Janssen.
You started that off, the Birdcage?
Yeah.
And did you select the people? That was just females, of course, wasn't it?
What?
The Birdcage was the glamorous.
Anyway, no, I started with Fashions of the Field.
Yes, that's right. That was my next question. Yeah. And how did you gather the people for that? Did the clothing?
Well, others we bought from overseas. Duchess of Hamilton
and everything. So that was well before Gene Shrimpton.
Yeah.
So what year was this?
I don't know now.
Was it in the 50s, 60s?
60s.
60s? Fashions of the Field, that's correct. So you'd be mused in today's day and age, Peter, that they've almost cancelled Fashions on the Field because in this woke society that we live in, they think it's exploiting people who look good.
The worst thing is, Sam, in the members now, before they were allowed in with no socks. Well, a sock was designed for the foot to guard the leather, the sweat getting into the leather of the shoe and spoiling the shoe. That was the job of a sock. And now they got them in with shorts on. I mean, where the hell are we going?
Where have the standards gone?
Yeah, I mean, no other big race course in the world would ever let that happen.
And were you ever into horses? Did you have horses or you were just... Were you just into the social side of the racing?
I've had horses all my life. But not racing.
You rode them in the hunt?
Yeah, steeplechasing and that.
Did you ever tell us where you got all the means to do this? What did you do? What did you do? How did you amass? What is your vocation originally? When you left school, did you? When did you leave school?
Oh, that's another point.
Now, come on, tell me when you left school.
Can't remember.
You can't say this all just happened.
Wait a minute. What you were saying is that I started with Bathurst with Peter Brock.
Yes.
I was his best man too.
Yes.
I went to John Bagshaw and I said, look, we're in the world where we're rallying cars. I'm beating Brock hands down all the time. We got to get like Bathurst where the people are. You know, he says, well, look, if I put my car with the name General Motors on a circuit, within 12 hours, I will not have a job. He was the head, you know. General Motors will not allow it. I said, I put it this way. I'll register it. It's mine, which I did. I had already done so. I said, you supply me all the cars, all the gearboxes, every article I want. You do it, flat chat, and I will go and get all the sponsorship.
This was you and Peter.
So we shook hands, and I went out, and I got Marlboro. That was the big one. That was huge.
The Marlboro Tirana, wasn't it?
Yeah, huge money. And then TAA, Castrol, NGK.
Yeah. What year was, please tell us, what year was about this, about was time was this? 70s?
Don't ask me the hard questions.
No.
Anyway, then it started. And I got it really, really cracking. I ran my own team, but I didn't have the money. And but I had Foster's behind me, and also I had Cadbury Schweppes.
Yes.
You know, Schweppes are still my sponsor today.
And what are they sponsored here to do?
Everything with people and that.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're an enabler.
Yeah, with like for Spirit Island was all done out.
Yeah.
I do it, but I've over 50 years, they're my sponsor. Not many people have it.
You said you didn't have the money to do it. Did you ever tell us for the third time where you got the money to do all this? Your lifestyle?
I don't think I ever had it.
You must have had it. You can't. This can't happen without. This is extraordinary. This place I'm sitting in.
Would you like 50 slabs of Foster's? That's how it went.
Yeah.
I had 3 Kenworths on the run, and when we wanted diesel, we offloaded Foster's or Cherry Ripes.
That's right. You were a trader.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, it was contra. We'll give you this, you give me that. It was a bartering, the bartering system you're into.
Yeah.
Now we're getting a bit
and
warmer.
You watch everybody who goes to knows me, they all ask, yell out Cherry Ripe, you know.
Cherry Ripe?
Yeah.
Cadbury's?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, dear me. I tell you, Enigma is the absolute word of the day.
Schweppes was a great one.
And you were the ambassador for Qantas.
Absolutely.
Are you not still, I suppose? You wouldn't have been, you wouldn't have lasted long with Alan Joyce, I wouldn't reckon.
No, you're right.
No, that's right. Eddie had that guess.
I didn't see I was with India.
Air India? You were with Air India?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're their ambassador?
No, what? I was overseeing him.
I see.
Cars coming in and that. And,
what did you do for Qantas?
I was on the board with Maharaj of Jodhpur of Antiques and Artifacts of India.
Yep.
So I set up that.
And you're into classical music? Have you ever been into art?
Absolutely.
Do you have any well-known art pieces by well-known named artists? If I could ask you your personal business.
Music, there's over there. I just got to clean it up. It's a 15th century harp at the start.
The painter is who?
Oh, what?
A harp.
Harp.
H-A-R-P.
15th century.
Who painted the Queen? Anna Goggi.
What?
Who painted the Queen back in all those? Anyhow.
Well, if you go upstairs, there's about 20 violins, cellos, basses.
Are you a musician?
Sax.
You like?
I play. I'm classical. I mean.
Do you? You play classical music.
It's 21 machine gun.
What's that?
No, it's not. What is open that up.
I'm going to open it up. Now, Peter has handed me what looks like a small AK-40, looks like an Armalite rifle with a weapon of mass destruction, but I'm opening it up, and it is, oh my word, look at this. So let me just get the thing open. Oh, sorry, this is not really the way podcasts are done, but we're just getting this out of here. See, why can't I get that out of there? Just try not to break it. Oh my God! That's a mini saxophone, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you play that?
Yeah.
Please.
I can't. It hasn't got the
reed in it. Where's the mouthpiece?
The reed. Well, that's what I got to fix.
Can we get the reed?
No, that's what we're trying to do.
And you play that, do you? What a beautiful looking instrument.
There's two organs upstairs. There's four concert pianos in the house.
And you can play them all?
Well, if you play one, I can go along to the other three, and I can play those two.
That is extraordinary. How did you learn to...
Who is this man?
How did you learn to do all this, Peter, Captain?
Well, I got my little fingers. They went up and down like that. My brain followed it. And I said to myself, you're famous. And I
is there anything you regret that you've ever done? Anything? Besides locking the bloke in the back of the double-decker bus and driving it up the steps of Parliament?
I would say it's about 3,222 times.
Yeah. And anything you wish that you wish you had done and haven't yet? What would you like to do? Did you go on the? Would you like to have gone into space? Did you fly on the Concorde?
No. No, I think these days I'm happy for just what I am.
I wouldn't wonder. You are an absolutely legendary person, and so many people have stories about you, and I'm sort of old enough to I haven't grown up with you, but I've grown up knowing of you, and it has been an absolute... Tell us something else that people listening to this might be interested in that I've probably missed. The main thing I should have asked you.
I'll get you the newspaper clipping in a moment. I rode in the steeplechase.
In where, and Ascot?
In England.
Where's Ascot in it?
Anyway, the old boy, he wasn't old, he's beautiful, he was 8, just spot on, out of New Zealand. I got him, and longest legs. I went on lead for the 2 laps, but coming home was slightly uphill, and the jockeys were so much lighter than I was. I dropped down to 9 stone 8, you know. That's all I had. And but he was carrying the extra weight, you know, he was being handicapped. I got 3rd. And I'm lying on the ground, the steam's coming up over my head and the jockeys and the horses. And this chap comes up and says, "Hey, why did you learn to bloody ride?" And to this day, I still don't know why I said it. "On your missus while you're at work." And he hit me with a big hunk of wood. And it was 26 stitches I woke up. The worst thing was I took a beautiful girl there. I was getting on so well, I never saw her again.
Well, if you'd said that in the AFL a couple of weeks ago, you would got suspended for 3 weeks. Just for saying anything to someone. Yeah. That is amazing. You've ridden horses, you've driven cars, you can play a musical instrument, it is frightening, all this.
You know something?
No. Tell me something else.
Well, I had a beautiful girl. She was here a lot. She was 3 degrees, could speak 3 different languages, sing, gorgeous. All the time she wanted to get married. Marry me, marry me. Well, I can imagine all my toys and gear going, you know, first big trouble. Wow. So anyway, one day a friend of mine rang up from Sydney, a great polo player, and I used to play a bit with him. And his wife had died 5 years ago. She was a lovely lady. Anyway, he's got this enormous house in Vaucluse, and he rang me, he said, "Look, I've been just wandering around in it, and it's getting me down. I need a companion, even if it's someone just to walk around the, you know, around the seafront with." And I looked at the girl, I thought, this is it. So anyway, I said to her, "Look, I've got to go to Sydney on business." She said, "Well, take me with you." I said, "Well, it's business."
And as she spoke?
take me with you. And this went on for 3 hours. I kept going. And then I said, oh, all right then. So I took it. They met.
Who was it?
And they got married.
You got married?
No, she did, you fool.
To whom?
I just said, to the bloke who rang me.
Oh, pardon me.
It's a horse got... the mayor got champion in the Sydney show. Anyway, then comes the beautiful part about it. The mayor wins it. Anyway, later on, it has a foal. And it's a colt, a boy one.
Yeah.
And he named it Jansen.
Did he?
Well, she saw it. She jumped in her Ferrari, roared around, picked the vet out, and went around and cut its nuts out. And then she rang me, and she says, I've just done Jansen 2 in, and you're going to be bloody next. I looked at Tonto, I said, Tonto, change the locks on the place again, will you?
Fantastic.
Well, the point is, I'm going to give you the newspaper clipping because that's what happened. When you tell a good, funny story, always have something to back it up.
That's right, so that people
don't
know it's not apocryphal.
One that's way out in the woo-woos and they say you're mad. It is true and you are mad.
Yes. Did you ever meet, for talking about Polo, did you ever meet Kerry Packer? Or
yeah, I did a lot with Kerry.
Did you? What did you do with him?
I wouldn't tell you.
I'll
tell you one thing he said to me, Jansen, don't you ever, bloody well, ever send me an invoice. And anyway, I did, after that, it started off, I did one and I worked it out, it was $18,000 he owed me.
For what?
Well, I'm not going to tell you.
I see, good.
Secret stuff.
Secret men's business.
Doesn't that sound good, though? 007 here, 007. And
it's Q over
anyway,
here.
A month later, a cheque arrived for $42,000. And all the way through, he did that with me. He was a great mate.
Yep, was he? Yep. If you, Captain Peter, have you? Have you been married? I should know this.
Oh, I couldn't afford that.
Have you ever been married?
I don't know.
I should know that, shouldn't I?
Yeah, you should.
Well, have you? You got any offspring, kids?
Hey, what?
Have you got any kids, children?
I don't think so.
I tell you what. What do you think of the world we're living in today? You just sit and watch it go by?
I just can't believe it. I mean...
It's extraordinary, isn't it?
What is happening? Australia of all time. You just wonder what it is. But the other thing is a bit more modified that we get down to is with the Labor government. I'm not into politics. But they're hitting the poor little bloke in his house. They can't turn the bloody heater on with the winter coming up. They can't do that. They got no money, they got nothing. And they're doing so much on petrol, he can't even take his car to work. I mean, and then he sits down, or his treasurer, and says, I've made 20 million.
Peter?
We're 20 million ahead and 20 million ahead.
Peter, today when we did our podcast, we said exactly the same thing about this state being in debt that has to borrow money to pay the interest on the money that they've borrowed.
That's
and we
right.
said heating, fuel, expenses, land tax, luxury tax. We said exactly that. How it's all right for the upper echelon and the well-to-do to be able to afford to live here, but it's the rank and file out in the suburbs who are doing it tough. We
I
said exactly that today.
I got people working at the farm. One's coming to work on a push bike. He lives 3 miles away. He says, oh, well, I'm getting fit. He says, I just can't afford the petrol.
Yep, that's it.
I mean, that's bloody bad news. He starts off 4 a.m. to get in before, you know, it's time we start up.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to leave us with? It's been just such a delight to speak to you, Peter, but anything else you'd like to say just that's bemused you over the journey?
I think I've got over the itches. I'm fit now.
Yeah, is that because of the painkillers you take?
Yeah,
yeah, I take that. They're Endone.
Yeah,
When I've had that makes you itch. If I have Endone, yeah. When I've had a few operations, they make you scratch everywhere.
Oh, yep, terrible.
I actually thought that when I saw you scratching yourself. Endone does that to you.
Actually, you got me excited.
I'm sure I didn't.
I always look back, and I said to, by the way, on Bathurst, they wouldn't let you have your sponsor on the windscreen. So back at me, when I was up in Bhutan, I changed my name to NGK Jansen. And I came back and I put NGK. You can imagine the next race, everyone had it on. They gave in.
Fantastic. Hey,
another thing? I found out with Bathurst on the Saturday, there was no one there. This is way back.
Yep.
And I said to Ivan Slipper, we got to do something about this. You know, get the old boys with three on the tree, make a race for them.
That's right.
Remember those three on the tree?
Yeah, I do, yep.
The gear lever. And get the mini race and everything like that. Get a load of crap, but get the people in to watch it.
That's right.
And those boys, they live for their cars every bit as much as we do with the big boys, you know. Well, he says, I'll tell you what, why don't we have the top 10, the flying 10?
Yep.
And I said...
Shootout.
Exactly.
Yep.
And we did. And you want to see the next, it was 8,000 people came out on a Saturday.
Yep.
And then it grew and grew. So I rang Bill Webb, who was an Australian, but he's head worldwide of Philip Morris, which is, I suppose, one of the most biggest companies in the world. And I said, look what I've done, you know, with a shootout thing. And he says, you won't believe it. He says, I've just signed up with Ferrari. That Marlboro will be on Ferrari. I let them know. Well, today, the Flying 10, it's all happening.
Now.
So I love creating.
I can see that.
Granddad just nodded then.
Yeah, he does.
He agrees.
So this has been an extraordinary insight into a legend, an Australian icon. You are an Australian icon. I'm not sure. Did you ever tell us how you made all your money?
I'm sitting wondering if I...
Yeah, did you ever tell us where all that came from?
No, I don't know.
No. And this just all appeared, all this stuff you said. There's animal busts, there's heads of antelopes and lions and probably a bit incorrect in today's, but it's just glimpse back into a bygone era. It's extraordinary.
The big bear you see down below.
Yeah, I saw the big bear.
That was in Bhutan.
You shot him. Yep.
He nearly got me. I mean, with bears, they can smell you 20 miles away.
Yeah.
You don't go looking for them. They come looking for you.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got him. He was on the other side of the Padre River. And it is enormous. And the water comes down there fast and the speed of lightning. Anyway... No one in Bhutan can swim. No one. And it's horror, terrible. And when people do something, instead of shooting or hanging them, they tie them to the body and send them down the rapids.
Yeah, tie them to the boat, in a log.
Anyway, he's on the other side. So I got a rope out and they all started crying. And I got out 110 feet of rope. And I said, you've got to run along with it because I'm going to swim across that rapids. And
With the rifle gun?
What? Because he's dead. I don't need a rifle.
Oh, he's dead?
Yeah. So anyway, I go way up in the rapids. You've got to see rapids to believe it. Hooker Falls in New Zealand's nothing. And I dive in and get going, and just side stroke carefully along, and another 3 feet over, another 4 feet over, just nicely. Nelly could smoke a cigar doing it. Got to the other side, tied him up. He got him. I became the king.
Did you have any...
If I ever told you one story, podcasts would either go to the top of Australia or right out the back door. Do you want it?
Absolutely, we do. Of course, we
Not
do.
Not that bad, because I told it at the...
Tell us now.
I told it at my party, my birthday party.
Come on.
We were up in, way out in the back of Kashmir, and we were letting, we were out for a week. So we were coming down into New Delhi. We were going on Indian Airlines. Worst thing, oh, gee. Anyway, we had the biggest party that night. I love honey chicken curry. I just love it. The three of us, like, we just ate and ate and ate. And then we're drinking water. We ran out of water. And the silly little bloke who was doing it, he was like that, so he quietly went and got normal water. Well, bang. It's the worst thing that can you ever do in India is to drink
the water.
And the morning we wake up, my stomach, I looked like I was going to have quads, you know. It was enormous. I couldn't even see Freddie to go and have a wee. I mean, it was huge. Anyway, I got on the plane, and I'm up in first class, naturally. And I got that eye on the door. And anyway, then all of a sudden it came on, and I started to hallucinate. The plane was turning up upside down. People were out looking at me upside down. I was gone. And I crawled and pulling my pants off and got inside, bang, and I sat down, and bang. Holy hell, it just went everywhere. And I had my head and my down by my knees, which was too close to the problem that was happening. And I look, I got four legs. Oh, I'm hallucinating again. And I turn around and look, I got two heads. I'm sitting on a woman. And with that I went bang and blew shit everywhere. It was something terrible. And the stink, oh wow. Anyway,
sitting on a woman.
They got us out of there, and the hair hostess says, we've asked for 9 months for them to fix the signal on the door that it's engaged. I'm so sorry. I said, what about us? Anyway, they gave us 2 body bags to get off their lightweight sheets.
Oh,
and I came off in the body bag, and she did. It was so bad. And I had 150 pounds, English money. I can still remember this. I went over to her, and they wiped the shit away from her face. She was absolutely
the shit away from her face.
And I said, I am so sorry. And she looked at me and she says, Captain, anytime you want me, just ring me for £150, I'll be there. And, you know, she dumb-nucked me so bad, I did not take it. Telephone number down.
Oh,
she was lovely.
My God.
But it was in the paper the next day.
Oh.
And I was saying, they crowned me Maharaja.
The Maharaja. Boo
Boo the Great. Boo Boo means shit.
Mate, that's, it's a real delight to speak to you, Peter. Yeah. And it's been fantastic. You've done the lot. Now, people reckon they've had a crack at doing most things. I reckon I've had a crack at doing most things, but I'm just a piker compared to you, and you're a legend. And I really appreciate you speaking to us. Peter, Captain. Peter, did you actually tell us where you got all your money from? No. Right. Thank you, Captain Peter Jansen.
I'm moping around the streets late at night. I'm worried because you ain't